Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us here today. Today we're going to be talking with Matt Powell. So Matt Powell is in the house. I really appreciate him taking time out of his schedule to come do this. He drove all the way out here to the boondocks to come see me. You know, Matt, you're going to have to come over to my house a little earlier. You're always coming out over here. You don't even know what the house looks like during the day, man. Right.
Yeah, I know, right? It is beautiful from what I can see, but yeah. I can't see much.
I mean, you can't even see my freshly cut grass. I cut my lawn. It took me 4 hours. 4 hours to cut my lawn today.
Oh my goodness. Did you push mow it or?
No, a riding lawnmower. Four hours. That's how big of a yard I have right now, guys.
Awesome stuff. Well, it's great to be here, Paul.
I don't know if I can handle this yard, but this was the option. It was like we called someone if they would cut it, and they said it was $150 a week to cut the grass here. I was like, no, thank you. That's way too much money. I could buy a riding lawnmower in 1 year. So yeah, but it was fun. I like being outside. I'm not used to being outside because I've been in Arizona for so long, in the heat. I didn't even go outside when I was in Arizona. It's like you go outside and you're like, well. You know what that's like, Matt. How long did you live there? You didn't live there very long.
Yeah, I was only in Arizona for just over a year, and then I decided to make my way back to being a Michigander.
Yeah, Michigander's where it's at.
Right.
It's beautiful. My kids love it out here. That my son was super sad because he was leaving his friends, and so was I. I was sad, too, because I was leaving all our friends. We lived in Arizona for a long time, and, you know, of course, but... you know, once he got here, he was like, Dad, I love it here. Because, you know, the first day we were here, my wife just sent me all these pictures of my kids. They were throwing dirt on each other, digging in the dirt, because Michigan has great soil. It's very fertile soil, and they were loving it, man. Just my daughter's face was covered in mud. But anyways, guys, today we're going to be talking with Dr. Kent Hovind. He is so gracious to join us today. He only has a short bit of time, so we're going to get right to it. But I really appreciate Dr. Hovind for coming on the show. And I want to quickly just plug Matt's movie here because it's an important film. I hope you check it out. Science Falsely So-Called. So, Matt, what year did you make this film?
I made it in 2018.
Okay, 2018. A lot of Dr. Kent Hovind, Pastor Anderson, and some others there. I really hope you guys check it out. You can check it out on Matt's YouTube page, Matt Powell Official. You can check it out there. And, you know, did God create the world or did the world create itself? Very deep. Very deep. But I love the spine of this film there with the monkey and stuff. That's good. You can't really see it on that shot, but yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining us here today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Hovind, and you know, Dr. Hovind's one of my favorite people, so I always look forward to these conversations. He's usually a very busy man. We got to get him, Matt. Like, next time you call him, you got to be like, okay, Dr. Hovind, you got to Skype us. So you have to be, you know, around internet, and you have to be able to give us an hour of your time without being scatterbrained. But he always seems, even though he's doing a million things and he seems like he's going to be scatterbrained, by the time you get to the interview, he's always on the ball and doing great. So I really look forward to this conversation today. Anything you want to say real quickly before we get into it, Matt?
Nope. I think we should be able to just jump right into the show.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll get him on here. Why don't you get him on real quick, Matt, and then we'll cut to you. Again, guys, thank you so much to our Patreon supporters and our donors to the show, Andrew Harms, Preston Taylor, Justin Schwartz, Orange Blood, Ethan Schmidt, Walter Rodriguez, Kay Kuntz, Julio Viles, Julio Guerrero, Samuel Elliott, Christian Cumbie, in memory of Timothy Caffone, and Infectious Services. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate all your support. I really do. Let's get right to it, Matt.
Hey, everybody. This is Matt Powell with Answers in Creation. I'm joined by Paul Wittenberger as well as Dr. Kent Hovind. We have him on the line here for a little while today, and we don't have too long with him, so we want to just jump right into the episode here. And we're going to do some similar things that we did last episode, but one of the things we wanted to do is just talk to Dr. Hovind and get his take on the creation versus evolution controversy. And Dr. Hovind, it's great to have you on. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, sir. I'm tired. We had a hurricane hit our city. Everybody's fine. A little damage down there, and I had to drive for 250 miles through the wind and the rain to come up to do a wedding. So I'm in Tennessee. Just had the wedding and drive it home tomorrow.
Wow, that's awesome. You guys got to be pretty exhausted. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes. So Dr. Hovind, what would you say is some great evidence? I mean, where would you start at whenever you're having a discussion with an atheist or somebody that doesn't believe in the Lord? Where would be a good starting place to get them to doubt their faith in atheism and evolution?
Well, I would point out the obvious. There's only two choices. Either there is a God or there isn't. Nobody's thought of a third option. And so we got to look at the evidence and say, okay, is there some kind of designer for this planet? If you're walking across the street and you find a penny on the street, you would right away conclude this is not a natural object. This is, you know, somebody made this. And if you're walking through a pile of gravel and you find an arrowhead, you right away correctly conclude this is not natural occurring rock, though it is 100% rock. It's been shaped and designed. It's an arrowhead for a reason. So I think if you can look at anything in nature, you should come to the obvious conclusion. There's a designer. You know, look at the cell, a single cell in your body. You probably have 100 trillion of them. One cell is more complex than the space shuttle. And nobody with one eye and half a brain would say the space shuttle could form itself by shaking, you know, nuts and bolts together. So it's just common sense. There has to be a designer. That brings up the second question of, okay, which designer? Which one? Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, etc. And then how long ago was it? Those are other arguments. But getting over the first bump and say, there has to be a designer, I think is common sense. But common sense is not common anymore. Yeah, I think it blows my mind. The importance of this topic is cannot be overstated. The founders of this country said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain rights. So where do rights come from? Where does truth come from? I've asked atheists all over the world a simple question. If evolution is true, how do you tell right from wrong? On any topic, is abortion right or wrong? Is murder right or wrong? Is sex with your dog right or wrong? Is anything right or wrong? But before you tell me what you think is right or wrong, I'd like to know how you're measuring this. Where's your ruler? How do you tell right from wrong? The atheist doesn't have one. They don't have a measuring stick.
They'll complain all day long about what they think is wrong with Christianity. But if you have a definition for what's wrong, that means that there must be a standard for what's right. And so I would say that that's completely illogical when they say that Christianity or certain things are wrong. Well, on what basis can they say that those things are wrong? You know, at least we have a basis as Christians. And so, Dr. Hovind, what would you say is some great evidence for young earth creation, like a young earth? I know a lot of people accuse us. They'll say, you guys are these young earthers, and they try to throw out young earth as a bad thing, but I've just chosen to embrace the term. You know, I do believe that the earth is, you know, approximately 6,000 years old. And so my question is, what is some of the best scientific evidence in your opinion that the earth is young?
Well, first I would say 6,000 is not young. 6,000 is really, really, really old. You know, Abe Lincoln was president, what, 160 years ago? That's a long time. It's hard to think back 160 years. Columbus was running around trying to find this place 500 years ago. Now, 500 is a long time. You want to go 6,000? Ooh, now we're talking the stretching the brain to the limits. So 6,000 is not young, but billions is pure fantasy. And if you're walking across the parking lot, you found an ink pen, a Bic pen. And I said, wow, look at that. That pen is 14,000 years old. You'd say, come on, Hovind, Bic wasn't even a company till after World War II. This pen is less than 70 years old. Just with that one factoid, it's got Bic written on it, but Bic didn't even form till after World War II. You just proved my 14,000 year date wrong. I still don't know when the pen was made, but I know it was after World War II, so it's at less than 70 years old. And you can say, wait a minute, this has the ballpoint in it, and it has plastics that weren't invented until such and such a year. And this style of pen was made, you know, you could, through process of elimination, probably narrow it down to less than 20 years. Okay? That's just the way science is supposed to work. So when somebody tells me the Earth is billions of years old, I say, guys, wait a minute. The Earth is spinning. We're turning around once a day. Yeah? Well, it slows down. Any spinning object is going to slow down. There's internal friction with the magma against the underside of the crust. There's external friction with the tides washing up and down on the beach and the Coriolis effect of the winds hitting the mountains, the lunar drag of the moon's gravity. We know at least four factors that are slowing the Earth down. It's been measured to be slowing down about a thousandth of a second every day. Okay, well, if the Earth is slowing down, that means it used to be going faster. Like, duh. So how far back in time could you go adding a thousandth of a second per day to the spin of the Earth before this would become a real problem? If you speed up the spin, of course, you're still stuck with the obvious initial question, how did the Earth get spinning to start with? Where did that energy come from? Where did the spin come from? And where did the Earth itself come from? And where did the laws like gravity come from? That's a whole other set of arguments. But just the spin of the Earth, if you go back in time, speeding up the Earth a thousandth of a second every day, it's not going to be too long before you start to create some problems, like greater wind currents. I just drove 250 miles through incredible wind coming out of Hurricane Sally in Alabama to come up here for this wedding in Tennessee. So I'm very familiar with the wind. So the wind would be horrendous if you went back, you know, even just a few billion years, let alone 4.6 billion years like they dream about. Plus, a spinning object like the Earth would flatten out like a Frisbee if it was spinning too fast. And the earthquakes and plate tectonics would be incredible from just the increased spin. So that's just one scientific fact you have to look at and say, guys, I'm sorry. I know you think the Earth is 4.6 billion years old, and you need billions of years for your theory to make sense, for the frog to turn to a prince. I know you need billions of years. But I'm sorry, you can't have it, not on this Earth anyway. The Earth is spinning, and it's slowing down. One more. You look at the moon and say, wow, the moon is going around the Earth. Yeah, once every 28 days or so. Well, the moon is gradually getting farther away from the Earth. We're losing the moon. It's been measured. The moon is leaving us in a couple inches a year. Okay, well, that means it used to be closer. Duh. Okay, if you go back in time with an imaginary clock, go back in time, bring the moon back in closer, you start to create some problems. The moon causes the tides. If the moon is closer, the inverse square law would tell us the tides would be higher, much higher. And the gravitational pull between the two, Earth and moon, would be increased because of the inverse square law. So if you brought the moon back in 1.2 billion years ago, the orbit would collapse. The gravitational pull is simply too great. They've known this for a long time. They say the moon cannot have been orbiting the Earth for more than 1.2 billion years. Okay, then why are we teaching the kids in school the Earth is 4.6 billion years old? I'm sorry, it's not. So there's probably 100 different ways like that you can talk about the age of the Earth and say, look, it's not billions of years old. Now, if that upsets your theory, I'm sorry. Get a new theory.
That's an awesome answer. So it seems to me like the Earth couldn't even be past a billion years old. Couldn't even be past, you know, a few million years old. You know, I mean, you look at the decay of the magnetic field around the Earth, and its half-life being only 1,400 years. You look just about everywhere in nature, I feel like there's just evidence for a instant creation that took place, you know, literally just instantly. And so people that try to defend evolution, you know, I would say that a lot of times, from my experience, that they've either been, you know, just willingly ignorant or dishonest. And some of them are just ignorant about the facts. But in your experience, Dr. Hovind, what would you say about your opponents that you talk to, as far as the ones that you deal with in debates, and even on the street, whenever you talk to these people, do you think the majority of them are ignorant of the facts, or that they are willingly like dishonest. How would you gauge these folks that you deal with?
There are several different categories you could lump them into. I've done 226 now debates, either at universities or via internet, where, you know, live debates with atheists. Some are simply brainwashed. They really honestly believe what they've been taught all their life. They've never heard the other side. I had one professor tell me that. He said, "I've never heard this stuff. All I've ever been taught is evolution." And he softened up for a minute. I thought I was going to win him over. But then he realized, oh, no, if I don't teach evolution, I lose my job. And so money reeled him back to the hard position of believing. Some are simply brainwashed, and they don't know. Some just really, really like the freedom evolution gives them from God. Well, if there's no God, there's no rules. This is great.
That actually leads me into my next question. So you mentioned how these evolutionists, they're obviously in it for the money. Now, as of recent, a lot of evolutionists have been coming out online and accusing the creationists of being in what we do for money. How would you respond to something like that?
Well, I'd like to say, what's your evidence for that? I mean, we give everything, my videos, we let people copy my videos, send them back, get their money back. Show me an atheist that does that. Can I buy Richard Dawkins' book, read it, and send it back, and get my money back?
If anything, it seems to me like the creationists are losing money coming into this. I mean, pretty much every creationist I've known has lost money.
Well, yeah, and money's not the real issue. The real issue is they don't want God telling them what to do. I think there's a bigger picture. There are people who want there to be a one-world government, a new world order, and the idea of a creator having rights that come from God interferes with their goals, their political goals. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know, they're endowed by their creator with certain rights. So it goes back to an even bigger picture. It's Satan versus God. There's been a war going on for 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden when the Lord, when Satan told Eve, if you do what I say, honey, you can be like God. You get to be God. And she fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And so after the God passed out the curses, he told the snake, you could crawl on your belly. He told, and he said to the snake, he said, someday some seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. And he's trying everything he can to kill every human being on the planet to be sure to get the one that's going to bruise his head. Kind of like Herod did when baby Jesus was born, and they said, there's a baby in Bethlehem going to be king. He said, we'll kill all the babies then. We'll kill them all. According to Hebrew tradition, he killed 22 babies that night. So Satan wants to kill all the humans to try to get the one that's going to bruise his head one day. So it's really a bigger battle, Satan versus God. And Satan wants a one-world government. He's convinced some super-rich bazillionaire folks that, you know, we really should reduce the population to 500 million. Of course, they don't know that once they get done doing his dirty work, bringing it from 7.5 down to 0.5, he's going to finish the job and get rid of them also. But it's all for him to try to save his hide. Because he knows someday some seed of the woman's going to bruise his head. So I really think we need to keep an eye on the bigger spiritual battle here. Those who believe in evolution oftentimes don't even know that they've been duped by the devil and they're one of his lackeys doing his handiwork, spreading that dumb religion. And evolution is nothing but a religion. You have to believe that dogs and mosquitoes are related. There's no, and then that dogs and mosquitoes came from a rock, which came from a dot of nothing exploding. I mean, it's got to be one of the absolute dumbest religions ever in the history of humanity. Evolution, just extremely dumb religion, but people fall for it.
Seems like the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that is so evident, especially when you point these things out about this quote-unquote community, Dr. Hovind, of these atheists and these agnostics out there. What about the flood? What is some of the best evidence for Noah's flood, in your opinion?
Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, Peter said, in the last days, the scoffers would be willingly ignorant of the creation, the flood, and the coming judgment. And they really are. The creation, the evidence is so overwhelming. There's a creator, like finding an arrowhead in a pile of gravel. I mean, hello, I don't know who did it, but I know somebody did it. It's just not natural. So evidence for creation is overwhelming. For a flood, well, we have 300 and some flood legends from countries around the world. Why would all the ancient countries talk about a flood? Maybe there was a flood. When you find fossils on top of Mount Everest and petrified closed clams on top of Peru, the mountain Andes Mountains, 2 miles above sea level, some of them 11-foot oysters. That's a big oyster. And we see the gigantic fossils that are found of all kinds of animals compared to today's standards, like a 50-inch dragonfly. It couldn't even fly today. The air is too thin to support that massive insect. But there's the fossil of one, so apparently they did fly, they did live. So I think the flood, first of all, finding fossils at all is an indication of the flood. Because, you know, how many animals died today? Millions. How many are going to fossilize? Zero. None. It takes very special conditions to form any fossil. And it's not the problem finding fossils. They're everywhere. Billions and billions of fossils. How do you explain this? Well, one flood lasting a year would do all this. Just with the moon pulling the tide up, as if there were no continents to interrupt the tide, like there are now, the tide comes up and it bangs into something like South America or North America. The tide gets interrupted. If the tide were uninterrupted, there would be what's called a harmonic tide, where it would reinforce itself, and it very quickly would become a 200-foot tidal change every 6 hours, 12 and a half minutes. Water comes up 200 feet, goes down 200 feet, 6 hours, 12 and a half minutes later. Well, if the water's coming up 200 feet in one spot, where's all the water coming from to fill that bump? Sideways? The water is constantly rushing sideways at the same speed the Earth is turning for a couple hours to fill it, to keep the bump full. Well, in Lenox, Alabama, where our Dinosaur Adventureland is, we're at 31 degrees north latitude. We're turning nearly 900 miles an hour. So if the water was rushing in at 900 miles an hour, it would bring in a layer of mud 100 feet thick and bury all kinds of stuff. If it gets buried deep enough, it'll fossilize under heat and pressure. The coal seams that we find all over the world are indication that forests, giant forests, were buried and squeezed and under heat and pressure. They can make coal in 20 minutes in the laboratory with heat and pressure. We've got a log at our Dinosaur Adventureland that is probably 18-inch diameter, but it was squeezed and flattened before it fossilized, like an oval shape. Want to hold it? You'd have to squeeze it while it was still wood, fresh under such pressure that it would squeeze an 18-inch tree into an oval and then fossilize it. The flood could explain all that. There's so many things that can only be explained by a flood, a rapid covering of these animals with sediments so they would fossilize, many times in positions with their heads sticking up like they're trying to get their last breath. Many, many fossils, and fully articulated. All the bones are still connected. Well, if an animal dies today, the coyotes and the buzzards and the ants, they drag it all over the woods, and you hardly find two bones together, let alone the whole skeleton. So I think the only way you can explain all the billions of fossil graveyards, bones in these fossil graveyards, is a flood. But they don't like that idea of a flood because it demonstrates God's authority to judge his creation. That's what they don't like.
Incredible. Incredible. And that is some strong evidence. I mean, it seems like there's countless pieces of evidence for the global flood. And I think that, you know, creation science has demonstrated that the flood did in fact happen, that it is a scientific fact. There's no doubt. Even secular scientists are now saying that the whole United States was once underwater. So they even came out recently and said that they're finding areas in the world where it can't be explained outside of a global flood. So the facts are on our side. The fiction is on the evolution side, the evolutionist side. And that actually leads me into my last question for you, Dr. Hovind, which is, what do you think would be the best evidence for, what would be the best way to demonstrate that we did not all come from a common ancestor? Because evolution teaches that we all evolved from a single-celled organism. And so how would you refute that using what we observe today in science?
Well, the word science means knowledge. It comes from the word seer, Latin, to know. What do we know? And how do we know things? Basically, we know things by observation, experimentation, testing, and demonstrations, etc. So we know dogs produce dogs. That's been observed over and over and over again. There are kennels all over the world that try to breed unusual, fancy breeds of dogs, and they've now got them down to the size of a Chihuahua, completely useless dog. And they got them up to the size of the, you know, Mastiff or whatever the biggest one is. Okay, do you think they'll ever get a dog as small as a flea? There are animals as small as a flea, you know, like a flea. So why is there some kind of limit to the dog kind? I would say, well, yeah. Now, let's say Chihuahua is the toy Chihuahua is the limit, and the Mastiff is the max. Well, why don't they get a dog as big as an elephant or as big as Texas? Of course there's a limit. Variations happen within the same kind. Most of them man-made wouldn't survive. You know, Chihuahuas wouldn't last 2 days out in the woods. But of the 500 or whatever it is varieties of dogs in the world today, probably you could trace them all back to a couple of common ancestors. A dog. All we've ever seen. Cows produce cows, dogs produce dogs. Even when you get something with a very short generation time, like bacteria. Bacteria are born, grow up, get married, and have babies in 20 minutes. You can get 100 generations in a week. So we don't see anything ever become other than a bacteria, period. So God said 20 times in the first 7 chapters of the Bible that they would bring forth after their kind. Nobody's observed anything other than that. Now, if they wish to believe and imagine, like SpongeBob, that the mosquito and the whale are related, well, that's imagination. That's not science. They're welcome to believe that. I don't care. But they should admit this is their religion. This is their belief. But to force everybody to teach that to the kids in the public school, that's criminal, in my humble opinion. They should keep their religion at home.
Amen and amen. Well, Dr. Hovind, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on and share these scientific facts with everybody. And we want this show to, go around the world and to be a tool to reach people for Christ. And so we really respect you and we love your work. And we just want to say thank you so much for coming onto the show tonight. Really appreciate it.
Well, call me anytime. Be glad to be on. Thanks a lot, brother.
Sounds good. God bless. Yep, bye-bye.
Wow, he's always awesome to talk to. He's always so knowledgeable and right to the point and succinct. You can tell, like, he's definitely studied up a lot, and I'm really glad we got him. Even for a short time tonight, I'm really glad we got him on.
Yeah, me too. I love how he can just pull out the scientific evidence on the fly. And as creationists, that's what we need to be able to do, and he does that very, very, very well. And so I appreciate his work. I appreciate what he's been doing. And I suppose that actually leads us into tonight. There's a lot of atheists out there that will say that we are living in a fantasy when Darwin himself, the person that they trust, the person that they put faith in for their theory and who came up with a bizarre theory, evolution, the man that they trust was afraid that he was living in a fantasy. So when they say Christians are living in fantasy land, they're just projecting their own problems onto us. And so with that being said, I'm game for jumping into some more of these atheists that have responded to us on the internet and those who are just random ones. Paul, if you're up to it.
Yeah, I think that worked out awesome last time to just kind of play the clips, hear it from the horse's mouth, and just kind of just give your opinion on what you think of it. I thought that was perfect. Do you have your computer plugged in? Because I don't see it back here on the switchboard.
I do. It's completely blacked out. The screen is.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's probably why. Well, before we get into that, though, I just wanted to quickly just thank all of the sponsors, the supporters who have donated to this show that made it possible. I just want to quickly just read off their names. Andrew Harms, Preston Taylor, Justin Schwartz, Orange Blood, Ethan Schmidt, Walter Rodriguez, Kay Kuntz, Julio Files, Julio Guerrero, Samuel Elliott, Christian Cumbie, in the memory of Timothy Cafone and efficacious services. Is that right?
Efficacious.
I don't think so.
I don't know for sure, though.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Matt. I'm not the only one that doesn't know this. I keep getting it, and I write it down. I gotta phonically write this out so I can get it right. But thank you so much, guys, for supporting us and support all the people who are supporting us on Patreon. I really appreciate all that. Let's get to it, Matt. Let's pull out these clips and I can't wait to hear what you got for us.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So let's talk about the universe, shall we? The universe as we know it was created by what is known as the Big Bang, or so we believe. The Big Bang is the belief that the universe essentially came from nothing. And that's hard to understand because how could something so enormous and, you know, significant and just magical come from nothing?
Well, it is unbelievable, and it's completely unscientific. I mean, it's funny how she words this. She says, you know, I just don't understand how, you know, this world could come from nothing. That's because it's not understandable, because it's not true. Truth is things that we can understand. Truth is what we can demonstrate, what the facts are. And so, you know, I love it when YouTubers put out videos like this, because it really demonstrates how, and even atheists that put out videos like this, it really demonstrates how what they believe is flawed as far as the scientific method goes. So, you know, just to debunk this using scientific fact, the first law of thermodynamics states that matter cannot be created nor destroyed. It's known as the conservation of matter and energy. And so if at one point there was no time, space, or matter, time, space, and matter cannot magically create itself. There has to be an external force. And so I always like to ask atheists, do you believe that an external force created time, space, and matter, something outside of the laws of physics, or do you believe that time, space, and matter popped into existence naturalistically and magically? Because if it was a naturalistic creation, it would have been a magic act, basically. So, you know, you have to ask the question, what is magical? Somebody creating the universe, or matter and energy creating itself from nothing? And so, you know, this YouTuber here, she seems like she might be moldable. She seems like she might be honest, and she seems to be fairly sincere. And so hopefully she'll, Anna, if you're watching this video, you know, I just encourage you to watch this whole episode from start to finish, because we want to share what the facts are with you here today.
However, we do know that there was a moment of creation, of course. And as I said, it was once believed that our entire universe, not just Earth, not just our solar system, not just our galaxy, everything, our entire universe was once this big.
Okay, and that is what scientists say. And that's what a lot of people will say about the Big Bang Theory, is that everything was condensed down to an infinitesimal amount of space smaller than a single proton. And then in a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, it went from the size of that tiny point to something billions of miles across. And so, you know, water, for example, can only be compressed down to a certain point. It can hardly be compressed at all. And so there are 326 million trillion gallons of water here on Earth alone. And so, you know, is it really rational? Is it really logical? Is it really scientific to say that 326 million trillion gallons of water was condensed down to a space this small? I would definitely venture to say that, you know, if you truly believe this, if you believe what you're saying, that all the matter was condensed down to an infinitesimal amount of space that we observe here in the universe, all of this matter, I would really encourage you to re-examine your position on that. So we'll go ahead and continue here.
You know, the chances of just a mega bang or explosion creating, you know, what's essential for life, you know, living creatures, is just slim to none for me. It seems unbelievable if that.
It definitely is unbelievable, because there's no truth to it. See, if there was any truth to it, it would be believable. Like I said earlier, the truth is what we can show to be true. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And so, you know, if the Big Bang was based on fact, then you wouldn't say, oh, this is so unbelievable. But since it's based in a fantasy, you will say, it is unbelievable that this could be the case. You'll claim that it's unbelievable because you yourself are aware that this is something that's that was created as a fantasy, just as Charles Darwin said that he was afraid he was living in a fantasy. The Big Bang itself is obviously a fantasy made up by people who were very superstitious and didn't understand how the world works or what the universe is all about or what the scientific method is about. And so we'll go ahead and continue on here.
It is proven that the universe was much smaller. It is theorized that it was actually the size of a grain of sand at one point. A grain of sand. But that small grain of sand that was once our universe had to have enough energy to set off that moment of creation.
So, obviously, you say that nothing, that this little grain of sand, which was next to nothing at that point, would have had to have energy to be able to explode. Well, the conservation of matter and energy says that matter cannot be created or destroyed. And that goes with energy as well. Energy can only be converted. And so what you're saying is that magically energy created itself or energy came into being from nothing, which we know cannot happen scientifically. It is scientifically impossible to go from nothing to something. So only the lawgiver of the first law of thermodynamics could operate outside of the laws of thermodynamics to bring matter and energy into existence. That is scientific, that is logical, and that is rational.
Yeah, you know, when you put it this way, I really hope if there's anyone watching that is an evolutionist, I hope you listen to what Matt's saying. I know he says it really kind of uses big words and he says it all fancy, but what he's saying, if you break it down, I mean, it makes complete sense. And it doesn't make sense to believe that everything came from nothing. Just like Dr. Kelvin said, how could all that water, like you were pointing out, come from a single proton? It just, come on. It just sounds so stupid when you put it, Matt.
It's like Hitler said. He said, make the lie big, make it simple, keep on saying it, and eventually they will believe it. So it's a big lie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge lie, and people do believe it.
As I'm growing older, and even when I was a kid, I was questioning it. It's just hard for me to believe that there's a man in the sky, you know? He's God. It just didn't make much sense to me.
That doesn't make any sense, because that's not actually what Christianity teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. It doesn't teach that there's a man in the sky. The Bible actually says that God is invisible. It says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So God is not the man in the sky. He is invisible. And, you know, he's not confined by time, space, and matter. You know, the law of cause and effect states that for everything that comes into existence, there is a cause. Well, we know that the universe came into existence billions of years ago, according to an evolutionist. Now, let's just pretend that that's true. Even if that were the case, the cause of the universe, if it created time, it must be outside of time. If it created matter, it must be outside of matter. If it created space, it must be able to operate outside of space. Those three attributes are the attributes that we attribute to God. And so this is logic 101. This is science 101. And, you know, I hope that you can now clearly see some of the flaws in the Big Bang Theory, as well as in what certain scientists will claim out there that violate the law of cause and effect. To ask the question, because a lot of these people will say, well, who created God? That's such a silly question, because we just established that, and it's not a logical question, because we just established that whatever created time operates outside of time and therefore cannot be created. So to ask the question, who created God, is like asking, who created the thing that created everything and that by definition cannot be created? It doesn't make any sense. And so, moving on.
everybody has a right to believe in whatever you want to believe in, and I don't think anybody is right or wrong. Let me just say that. I don't think anybody is right or wrong.
Are you right about that? Are you? It's pretty easy for anybody to kind of catch on to that, but I'll just state it. So, you know, are you right about that? You say nobody is right or wrong. Well, if you're right, how could you be right if nobody is right? How could you be wrong if nobody is wrong? It doesn't make any sense. And so what that is, that's known as a self-defeating statement. When you say, well, nobody's right or wrong, you're saying that your position is right, that nobody is right or wrong, which defeats your own argument.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you talked to her, she would say you're wrong, Matt.
So. Right. So when she says there's no right, but I'm right, and that there's no wrong, but Matt, you'd be wrong, that doesn't make any sense. So Anna, you know, Lord bless you. I hope that this video finds you, and I hope that you see it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You're not like a typical atheist that I typically deal with, and so I want to just let you know that, you know, Paul and I here on the show today, we wish the very best for you.
Yeah, and hopefully she'll come on our side. And you know, some people are just, that's all they know. They're just misguided. They're raised believing that way. And so they just need sometimes just someone to say the right thing to them, and then they'll snap out of this the sleep that they're in, you know?
The fantasy.
Yeah, the fantasy. Yeah, exactly.
Amen. I guess we'll move on to the next atheist.
Do you really believe that something came from nothing?
Yes.
Ernie?
Did you notice? I'm going to play this clip one more time, and I want you to notice how the atheist hesitates. If somebody asked me, Matt, you know, what do you believe on this? If I hesitated on stating my beliefs or stating what the facts are, what we can observe to be true, then that would mean that I know that there's something absurd behind what I'm saying. And so just in the same way that that would be the case, check this out once again.
Do you really believe that something came from nothing?
Notice the pause.
Yes.
See, the evolutionist knows that it's absurd and that it wouldn't be taken seriously, even by the scientific community. If the scientific community was honest, they wouldn't take anybody like this guy seriously. And so obviously Todd Friel was in this debate with this gentleman, and Todd Friel did very well in that debate. But what really stuck out to me was when this man, this person that defines himself as an atheist or somebody that believes that there's no God is what the dictionary defines him as. This man hesitated when he gave his response, you know, and it just goes to show that he was not sure of what he believed at the foundation. He knew it would sound absurd because once again, it is absurd. So moving on.
Wow.
Did the universe need a creator? Not according to the physicist and mathematician Stephen Hawking, who argues that God wasn't necessary for the creation of the world. Professor Hawking claims that the Big Bang theory of creation can now be explained by science alone, without the need to consider some form of divine intervention.
Because there are laws, such as gravity, the universe can, and will, create itself from nothing.
So notice what he says here. He says, and I quote, because there are laws such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Well, my question to Mr. Hawking here, who was one of the leading scientists in the world up until he passed away, my question to him is, if there was nothing, if the universe can and will create itself from nothing, how could gravity exist while nothing exists? You say, because there's gravity, nothing will create everything. Well, that's an oxymoron, because if there's gravity, gravity is something. But then you say, oh, well, there's nothing. That doesn't make any sense. There's no sense to that statement. Now, a lot of atheists accuse me of quote mining these guys and taking them out of context. But this is not a quote mine. This is literally what he said. It's literally what he meant. And, you know, the Bible says that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it really is demonstrated when somebody will make a statement like that. If I just went outside and said, hey, everybody, things can come from nothing. Anything can come from nothing. Give it enough time and anything will happen. People would say, you've lost your mind, dude. So, Mr. Hawking, you say that the universe can and will create itself from nothing because of gravity. Well, my question to you is, if nothing was at the beginning, then how could gravity exist if there was nothing for gravity to be able to create everything? Do you see how that doesn't make any sense? So,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it's weird how did he become so popular? I guess I don't know anything about the guy. Do you know, Matt, like what made this guy popular?
So he had kind of, from what I understand, like some type of inspirational story where he, you know, he did well in mathematics. He wasn't really able to play sports because he developed a disease at a young age. And so, you know, my hope for Stephen Hawking would have been that he would have trusted Christ as his savior. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that he ever did. But one of the things that he supposedly specialized in was I believe, mathematics. And that's what made him popular, was that he was crippled, but that he was still able to do math. Well, math doesn't explain the origin of the universe. The origin of the universe is a scientific question and a philosophical question, not a mathematical question. And so,
And what created gravity? You know, like something had to create the initial thing. What created that proton, or what created that, you know, that speck that created the whole world? Something had to create that speck, even if that were the case. You know, what created that speck?
Yeah, and I always like to ask the atheists, you know, what created everything? Did somebody create everything? Or did everything create itself magically? Did something cause matter to come into existence outside of matter, which would have to be the case because of the law of cause and effect? Or will you violate the cause and effect law and go into the realm of magic? And that's what every atheist believes in. If they're going to deny the existence of the Lord God, if they're going to deny what they see around us in the world, if they're going to deny the facts, what the truth is, then they're left with magic. They're left with sorcery. The Bible says that the Lord hates sorcery. He hates magic. He's not into magic. You know, atheists always accuse Christians of believing in magic. And I always open the Bible and I ask them, where is the magic in this book? They can't show me because it's not there. They'll say, well, your God's the spaghetti monster. Show me a spaghetti monster in the Bible. You won't find it. The Bible says God is a spirit. And the spaghetti monster, by the way, if he existed at all, would be a being inside the universe, inside of time, space, and matter. And he wouldn't last long around me because I enjoy spaghetti. He would be eaten. So the spaghetti monster wouldn't last long. I'd love to believe in the spaghetti monster, but I know he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So...
or perhaps the universe popped into existence out of nothing. That is also a possibility.
Most of the religious people who object to my definition of nothing never defined it themselves. What they like to... here's what their definition of nothing is. It's nothing is that from which only God can create something.
All right, this was misedited slightly. All right, we'll continue here.
The universe could essentially be nothingness, which was unstable and created a soap bubble.
Okay, so how can nothingness be unstable? If nothing is nothing, which, you know, is ex nihilo, nothing, how could nothing become unstable unless it had attributes? See, for nothing to become something, something has to have attributes. And so you can't just say that nothing became unstable. That doesn't make any scientific or logical or even philosophical sense whatsoever, because it denies all three of those things.
Yep.
So are we living in simulation?
I find it hard to argue against that possibility.
What?
Now, this is one of the world's leading science communicators, which means that what he does is he goes around and tells everybody about scientific laws. Now, he is an atheist, and he said that it's hard to argue against the possibility that we are living in a simulation. This goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, that intelligent design is clearly seen in the universe, and these guys have been painted into a corner. And so what do they have to do? They have to say, oh, intelligent design is there, but in a simulation. Intelligent design is possibly there, but, you know, we were designed by some kid or by some fourth grader. Listen to what this guy says. It's very interesting.
It's hard to argue against the possibility that all of us are not just the creation of some kid in a parent's basement programming up a world for their own entertainment. And then every time something weird happens in the world, some disruptive leader takes charge. And I wonder if that programmer's just got bored and had to stir the pot. So they throw somebody in there just to, for their own entertainment.
What in the world?
I really don't have much to say about that other than, wow. You know, I think that maybe that's just,
just anything but God.
Literally anything but the facts. What we can observe to be true. Yet these people will go crying for evidence. Well, do you have evidence for that claim that we were designed by a kid in its parents' basement? I mean, how bizarre is that? Like, this stuff is straight out of, you know, science fiction movies. That right there is straight out of the movie The Matrix. That is straight out of Hollywood. That is not science. That is science fiction. And so, you know, Mr. deGrasse Tyson, you say that, and I'm quoting you, and I'm not strawmanning you, but this is your claim, that it's hard to argue against the possibility that all of us are not just a creation of some kid in a parent's basement programming up a world for their own entertainment. Well, number one, if something is programmed, the program is only going to do what the programmer tells it to do, which means that the program doesn't have free will in anything. And so with that being said, we have free will as humans. You know, and I heard an atheist say, we don't have free will. We're all just computer programs. Well, will anybody that's listening to this podcast just go ahead and freely raise your hand? And if you raised your hand, that demonstrates you have free will, because I just asked you, would you please raise your hand? If you have free will you freely raise your hand? And so, of course we have free will. You know, it's ridiculous that people say there is no free will when I can ask you to do something and you may do it, you may not do it. You know, I can ask, Dr. Hovind certain questions and he can choose to answer them or not answer them. And so free will completely debunks the idea that we're living in a simulation. And, you know, the people that say that we live in it, that we possibly, and it's hard to argue against this possibility that we live in a simulation, these people are just desperate to deny the Lord. And they've been confronted with the facts and they realize that, yes, intelligent design is there. But they do a bait and switch. They say, well, it must be some other designer, just not the God of the Bible. You cannot tell me that that is free thought, and you cannot tell me that that is being open-minded. That's closed-minded. That's confined thought. Free thought, remember, always gives both sides.
Yeah, but, you know, if you think about it, though, he didn't answer the question where we came from, though. Where's that guy in the basement? Like, where did he come from? You know? It's just so stupid.
It is so, so stupid. I mean, it honestly leaves me speechless.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you even say to that?
Right.
Say, well, why are you speaking these truths so blatantly and straightforward? Because I want people to know what the truth is. I'm sick of people being lied to.
He sees everything as black and white. There's absolutely no shades of gray in between.
That's actually how science works, right? So there are laws that we establish, laws that we discover. Those laws are black and white. So when you say, and there's no shade in between, something is either true or it's not. People will say there is no truth. Well, is that true? Because if it's true that there's no truth, how can the statement be true that there is no truth? Okay? And so you say, well, everything with this guy, this preacher, Matt Powell, is black and white with science. Science is black and white when it comes to laws and the truth. And, you know, it is plain. The Bible says that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They're clearly seen. It's clearly demonstrated. Science is something that we can clearly see. The word science means to know. The first part of the scientific method is to make an observation. These are all facts. They're cut and dry. They're black and white.
Well, the Bible says the earth is flat, the sky is a dome over it.
And the Bible says the earth is flat.
Yeah, where does it say that?
Okay, I it's funny, this group, the Utah Outcasts, has made countless videos against me, you know, and they've been saying, hey, we want you to make a response, make a response. Well, look, if I'm going to make a response to you, it's going to be with the facts. And this lady on this show literally said, the Bible says the earth is flat. Chapter and verse, please. If anything, the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says that the Lord sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the Bible says that the Lord hangeth the earth upon nothing. That's what the Bible actually says. See, these people, these atheist YouTubers who like to respond to me and pretend that they know the facts and pretend that they know the Bible, the thing about them is they will twist scripture because they don't even know what the Bible says. And by them not knowing what the Bible says, a lot of times they're talking to an audience, even of Christians, that don't know what the Bible says themselves. So you've got two groups of people that don't know what the Bible says. And sometimes the Christians will become atheists based on the fact that they'll be like, well, is that really what the Bible says? Does the Bible have errors? Absolutely not. Every single argument that the atheists have ever brought forth to try to discredit the Bible has been disproven. Every single argument. There is not one place where the Bible doesn't make sense or is scientifically or logically inaccurate. There's not one place. And if the best evidence that you have against the Bible is the Bible says the earth is flat, then you don't have any evidence at all against the Bible. And so that's all I've got for you guys at the Utah Outcasts. And you know, you guys claim to be free thinkers. You claim to be people that can think on your own two feet. You claim to be rebels. You're outcasts. Well, I find it interesting that your worldview is accepted by most people out there, and they just accept it without actually critically thinking about it. They're just taught how to think, not what to think. And then at the end of their course, they think they know how to think. And so my advice to you guys would be just to, you know, study, you know, the basic scientific method. And look, all I've been using in this whole show, me and Paul, are very basic scientific arguments. We will get deeper in the future and we'll use more complicated arguments, but we'll try to keep them simple, because one of the things that I want to make sure that we do on this show is simplify everything to make it so you can understand it. And whenever these YouTubers out there talk about science, sometimes they always use, you know, fancy words like phylogenetics and Paleozoic, Mesozoic layers and all this stuff, and they try to sound intelligent. But I could do the same thing. I could play the same game and sound intelligent just to get people to trust me, even though I may not know what I'm talking about, just as you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to basic scientific knowledge. And so that's all I've got on them. So
awesome.
All right, now on to Richard Dawkins.
There are lots of different religions, and they can't all be right. And the Christian one in which I was brought up was clearly only one of many. But that didn't finally make me into an atheist. What finally made me into an atheist was the realization that there was no scientific reason to believe in any sort of supernatural creator. And that came with the understanding of Darwinian evolution.
Okay, so consistently I talk to theistic, what are known as theistic evolutionists, and they'll say evolution has nothing to do with God or believing in God or not believing in God. But Richard Dawkins right here said that the reason that he became an atheist was because of the realization that he had, the enlightenment from Darwinian evolution. So Richard Dawkins has just admitted, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason that he's an atheist isn't because of, you know, good scientific facts or theories that are out there. He's an atheist because of what Charles Darwin taught. Once again, I just want to reiterate, Darwin said, and I quote, I fear, he says, but, what did he say? He says, often a cold shudder has run through me, and I have asked myself whether I have devoted my life to a fantasy. So if Darwin was truly using the scientific method, what we can observe to be true, what we know as fact, then he wouldn't have said such a statement. Scientific method isn't based on fantasy, it's based on fact. And so Richard Dawkins is trusting a man, trusting a theory invented by a man who was afraid he was living in a fantasy. Now, this show is, you know, we focus a lot on debunking that theory and proving special creation and demonstrating special creation. However, people need to keep in mind, theistic evolutionists in general, all of them need to keep in mind that whenever they make blanket statements and say, well, evolution and creation, it doesn't matter. Well, if it weren't for teachings like evolution, maybe Richard Dawkins wouldn't be out there confusing the masses and telling them that there's no God. And, you know, people often go running to vestigial organs to prove evolution. They'll say, well, you know, vestigial organs, since we're losing organs over time, which I don't really believe that we are, I've never seen any evidence for that. But even if we were to pretend that to be true, they'll say, well, we're losing organs. Humans used to have a tail, but they lost it because they didn't need it anymore, they say. Well, number one, you know, who wouldn't want to have a tail? You know, have you ever gone to the door with two sacks of groceries in your hand? You know, you could just open that door right up with your tail if you actually had a tail. And so, you know, to say that humans actually had a tail is, you know, and that they lost it because they didn't need it, that's ridiculous. But let's just pretend for a minute that we did have a tail at one point, an actual tail. Well, to go along with this fairy tale here, let's say that that is true. Well, obviously, and I'm losing my train of thought. I hate it when this happens. Sometimes I have brain farts. Oh yeah, so they say that, you know, we have proof of evolution because humans lost their tail. We have organs that we're losing. Evolution is the study of gaining characteristics and gaining organs. So you're going to tell me that by losing organs or by things degrading, like the creationist will claim and believes, which is scientific, by things degrading, you're going to say that that is proof that we're gaining everything? So because we've lost organs, we've somehow gained it all, according to the evolutionists. Somehow we've gained all these characteristics. That's ridiculous. You don't gain everything by losing it all.
Yeah, and you know what, Matt? What about Charles Darwin is something that Kent Hovind in his lecture talks about, this is that his book's title, and this is something that really stuck with me, is the book's title says this, and I'll put it up on screen: The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
Right from the horse's mouth. Even his own book title was racist.
Yeah.
The Preservation of Favored Races. And we've got this racism going on, and racism is because of evolutionary theory. People will say, well, they're more evolved than other people. And even the Columbine shooters, one of them wrote in his journal, Dylan Klebold said, and I quote, that he thought that he was more advanced, evolutionary speaking, evolutionarily speaking, that he was more advanced, that he was more evolved than the other students at his school. And so that's blatant proof right there,
yeah,
in his own journal, that the reason, and the reason they killed Isaiah Scholes was simply because he was black and he was less evolved, according to them.
Yeah, I mean, Darwin was a racist. I mean,
he admitted it.
Yeah.
And evolutionists will say that he wasn't. Evolutionists will say Charles Darwin never admitted to being a racist. Charles Darwin did. We have proof of it. In one of his own letters, he admitted that he was a racist. And that, you know, and I mean, it gets pretty deep. I mean, we could dive deep into Charles Darwin.
You know, I think we should, Matt, one of these shows. That would be awesome because, you know, everyone's up in arms and deplatforming everyone that says anything remotely racist. Why don't we, you know, go back to Charles Darwin, the guy that you guys all love, you know?
Right.
He was a huge racist.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times they'll say, well, the Bible promotes racism. Yeah. No, it doesn't. The Bible says we're all of one blood. So it's so funny because they'll throw their own problems onto the creationists. They project, it's the fallacy of false equivalence applied here, where they have a problem with their worldview, with racism. So what do? They go project it onto the Christian. Oh, the Bible is racist. No, it's not. The Bible says we're all of one blood. The Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, male nor female, you're all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Favored races.
Favored races? What are you going to go with, folks? Favored races? Favoring races? Or all of one blood? You choose.
Yeah.
So the atheists out there, obviously here that we've seen in this video, we're having a church service on Sunday. And we got to hear their pastor a little bit here. And he said, and one of the things that he said really stuck out to me, and I'm sure you noticed, where he says, we've only got this life and wrongs will never be made right. Now, atheists will always say the Christian worldview is so degrading towards people. Do you know what's degrading towards people when you say that justice will never be done? That's degrading. God is love. When you take away God, you take away love. And so they'll say, love, love, we love everybody. They don't love anybody if they're going to make statements like that because, you know, I don't know if you could venture to say that they don't love anybody. I'm sure they love their family members, but they're just loving themselves. The Bible says that they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, these people. So to debunk this guy's argument, he says that, you know, we just got to live life to the fullest and that the wrongs will never be made right. Well, what is wrong by this guy's standard? What is his standard of right? What is his standard of wrong? If you have a standard of what's wrong, that means, by logical deduction, that there must be a standard of what is right, what is factual. And so they have no standard. If you talk to any atheist, they'll say, well, my morality is whatever I make up for myself or whatever the community agrees to. Well, number one, you're trusting your brain that came from an explosion. How can you trust your brain to be rational enough to make the right decision if you think that your brain is just a cosmic accident that could be in a vat? Because that's what atheists say. They say, well, we could be living in a simulation. We could be in a vat. Well, if we're in a vat or a simulation, or if you think that to be the case, then why would you be so certain that God does not exist? Why would you be so certain that Christianity is wrong when, according to you, anything could be wrong, anything could be right? So it sounds to me like you're ruling out the truth right from the start if you're an atheist. So this guy literally said, you know, there's never going to be a time where wrongs are made right. Well, the Bible does talk about a judgment. And the Bible does talk about the fact that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, those of us who are saved, and that he will judge those who are not saved. And the Bible says the dead were judged by their works. And so you don't want to be judged by your works, folks. You want to be judged by your faith. Jesus said to the woman at the well, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath saved thee. And so, yeah, whenever you say that, well, morality is whatever I make up, and there is no right or wrong, well, are you right about that? Do you see how I think we see on this show just time and time and time again, logical fallacy after logical fallacy from these atheists and scientific denial after scientific denial. And atheist, the second definition of atheist is denier. They're living in denial of the facts.
Oh, very good.
So why are you out here today? Can you
tell me about that? To let the religious right know that they got to know where they end and we begin.
Because I'm a free thinker, I'm a humanist, I'm actually a leader in the humanist movement.
Why did you come out today?
I came out today for a reason and for free thought, and because it's, we don't see a lot of that in our town.
So these people are claiming, you know, we came out for free thought and reason. It's what's known as a reason rally. Well, if you're going to say, well, we don't see a lot of free thought in our town, but we are teaching evolution and we want people to believe in evolution, and that's what free thought is according to them. Well, evolution's being taught all over that town. Evolution's being taught in every city in America, every town, every village practically, in all the public school curriculum. It's the only theory protected by law. So when this lady says, well, we're out here to promote free thought because we don't see it in our town. Well, you're actually right about that. You don't see free thought in the public school system in your town or wherever. The public school system, like I said, is teaching theories about evolution that are protected by law, which means they cannot be questioned, which means that you cannot think outside of what has been established, quote unquote, by these scientists. And so, you know, to come out there and hold up a sign, I mean, you know how ridiculous that looks. You know, it would look really ridiculous if I, you know, grabbed a sign, went out on the street with it and said, look at me, folks, I'm a free thinker. Look at me, everybody. I can think on my own two feet. If I was to do that, that would just go to show that I'm not sure of myself and that I need confirmation from other people to tell me that I'm a free thinker. And that's what these atheists are. They're not sure of themselves.
Yeah, and it's sad because, you know, the last clip that you played and that clip where there were the atheist church, there's a lot of old people in that church. And, you know, those people don't have much more time on this earth. So I really, you know, you should really listen because you never know when your last day is. And, you know, it's just sad to see all those people that... you know that they're going to go to hell if they don't, you know, believe right.
It's so sad. And, you know, what's even more sad is, you know, even after taking time out of my schedule to debate the raging atheist, and the atheist community said that he lost both debates hands down. Well, if, you know, if I was to lose a debate, I would do research, right? And one of the things that I shared with the raging atheist was that there are atheist churches popping up all over the United States. And they have Sunday services with the worship service as well. And he goes, no, there's no such thing as an atheist church. You're off the rails, Matt. And he didn't do any research. And now 2 years later, when I mentioned last episode about the first church of atheism, Raging Atheist went ahead and responded. And he goes, I told Matt there's no such thing as the atheist church. And other atheist YouTubers responded and said, there's no such thing as an atheist church. Look, all you have to do is go to Google and type in First Church of Atheism or even just Atheist Church, and you'll see their actual statement of faith where the Atheist Church says that they have faith in nature. And so the Atheist Church is a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. They're popping up all over the place. And so for these atheists to respond to me and say, there's no such thing as an atheist church, that just goes to show they haven't actually done research. They're not interested in facts and scientific methods. They are interested in just fighting and debating and arguing and trying to demonstrate something that they themselves don't even know to be true.
Yeah, I saw the video where he was talking to you. I don't know how recent it was, but where he was just kept telling you, you know, you're bringing nothing new, Matt. You're bringing nothing new. But it's like he wouldn't answer the questions because he knew he couldn't answer the questions. So he has to just, you know, make it out like you're the one that's the problem.
Right. Yeah, he tried to play a victim. And one of the things that I think it would be appropriate to point out is, you know, when he challenged me to a debate, the atheist community was coming down on me saying, Matt, you're going to get crushed. The Raging Atheist is a great debater. And the Raging Atheist had done some debates, and he had done what atheists typically do in those debates. And that's why the atheists thought that he would win hands down with me. And so I debated him once for the movie Science Falsely So-Called. And you can see that debate all throughout the movie. And you can see that the facts are presented. on the creation side, and that he presents virtually nothing. And what happened was, he texted me, says, "You misrepresented all of my beliefs in the movie. And you misrepresented everything about what I said." And I said, "Okay, well, Ronnie," because his real name is Ronnie, I said, "Ronnie, what I'd like to do then is I would be happy to go on Modern Day Debate, which is a debate platform, and do a discussion with you or debate with you. And I tell you what, Ronnie," I said, "I'll ask you all the same questions that I asked you in the movie. That way you can clarify your position." And so I wanted to give him a chance to clarify his position. And so when we got onto the debate platform, all of a sudden he goes, "Same answer as before, same answer as before." Well, he literally just got done saying that I was taking him out of context in the movie. So he's literally going, same answer as what? Well, same answer as the one in the movie. So he is referencing the answers. He was referencing the answers in the video that he was claiming that I was taking him out of context in. And so what he did was, he tried to hijack the debate platform and change the topic on the fly. He tried to change it from the topic that we agreed on, which was, does God exist, to making it about his personal angst and getting jabs in on me and trying to create a hit piece on me. And he did it very dishonestly. You know, it would have been one thing if he would have just said, "Okay, the debate is, does God exist, but I want to bring other stuff into it." But he tried to change the debate entirely. He hijacked the platform last minute and cheated to try to win that debate. And I've always said, and you know, ever since I was a young man, that just cheaters never win. And cheaters really never truly win. And, you know, they may get, you know, jabs in here and there if they're debating somebody that can't debate as well as them. But in the end, the Lord wins. And, you know, one of the things that I just want to say to the atheist community, because we've just, I mean, we've basically debunked pretty much every big name out there just between these two shows alone, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things I want to make clear to them is, the words that I'm speaking, I'm not trying to pick a fight, and I never tried to pick a fight with the raging atheist. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So the atheists are the ones that are for war, not me.
Awesome. Well, you couldn't put it better than that, man.
Is it meaningless? No, it's the one life we have. You have to give it all the meaning you can.
Religion. Why?
Okay, so she says, is life meaningless? Well, no, you gotta make up all the meaning that you can. You gotta give yourself meaning. What she's admitting is that she's actually make-believing. She's making up or make-believing a purpose for life or a meaning for life. Since there is no meaning, she's just taken it upon herself to go into a land that's make-believe. It's not actual meaning. She even admitted, this is meaning that we make up for ourselves. They're make-believers, folks. They're make-believing in a purpose for life. And they go out on the street and make it their purpose to tell everybody out there that there is no purpose to life, objective purpose.
Why are people so upset about Christianity in general? Like, specifically atheists. Why do atheists attack Christianity over all the other religions, like Wiccanism and Buddhism? Why do we care so much about Christianity? It's because Christianity is forced upon us.
Paul, do you know of any Christian that forces their religion on other people?
No, because it's the opposite. Because the point of Christianity is you need to believe. So why would you force it? Because no one would ever believe it. You have to believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus. So, I don't know anyone who's forced it on him, because you can't force someone to believe something.
And it's so funny, because on the contrary, evolution is what's forced in schools. So this guy, once again, doing the fallacy of false equivalence like they always do, flinging their own fallacies onto Christianity, which we're not going to allow any longer. This guy says, well, Christians force their religion on everybody else. No, we don't. You know, we lay out the facts, and, you know, we give people the opportunity to receive Jesus as Savior. You receive a gift. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That tells me that you receive as a gift the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And so nothing is being forced upon this gentleman. Nothing's being forced on people at all other than their religion, which is evolution. Because like I said earlier, it's the only theory that's protected by law and that is forced on other people. So for him to say Christianity is being forced on people is so ridiculous, because he himself is having a religion of death, a religion of evolution forced on him, and he doesn't even realize it because he's not taught, and people typically are not taught these days what free thought means. What free thought is comparing two sides and choosing the logical path, the scientific path, the rational path, the reasonable path. The Bible says all men have not faith, and that there are wicked and unreasonable men who have not faith. So the people who don't have faith in Jesus, the Bible says that they're wicked and that they're unreasonable, which means you cannot reason with them. The Bible also says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we can present wisdom and instruction all day, but there will still be people in the comment sections that will despise wisdom and instruction. They'll despise the facts. They'll despise the truth, because they know in their hearts that if evolution is wrong, that there's only one other alternative, and that's creation.
Awesome.
That's why Christianity is focused on so much, is because it's forced upon us. This doesn't mean that all Christians force their religion on others, but a lot of bad apples do. And I think that people who do force their views on others, like go out of their way to tell people that they're wrong, that they are wrong.
So his definition of forcing your views on other people is going out of your way to tell somebody that they're wrong. Well, number one, that's not forcing your beliefs on somebody. If I just say, hey, you're wrong, I'm not forcing my beliefs on you, number one. And then number two, you say it's wrong if you tell somebody else that they're wrong. Well, you're telling me that I'm wrong for telling somebody else that they're wrong. So you yourself are defeating your own argument when you say that. When you say, when you make a statement like nothing is right or wrong, well, are you right about that? Or are you wrong about that? When you say those who tell people that they're wrong, they are wrong themselves. Well, are you wrong too? Because you're telling me that I'm wrong for telling somebody else that they're wrong. It's a self-defeating argument, which means that logically speaking, there is truth, and that at some point, there's going to be an argument. There's going to be conflicting worldviews, and that's just the way that life works. That's science 101. That's logic 101. That's the world 101. And so that's pretty much all I've got on this guy.
Yeah, well, awesome, Matt. Well, I appreciate you yet again taking your time out of your day to put those clips together. I know it's not easy to do that, but it's important. And I'm really glad you did that. And so I can't wait to do the next show. Hopefully we can keep this going, and I'm sure you have tons of clips that you can come up with. I'd like to get Dr. Kent Hovind back on the show, because I did want to play that. What was your idea, Matt? Because I know you had that idea of we were going to play his debate and he was going to let him comment on it. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so what we could do is we could play some clips of some atheists that attack him and let him respond. And the atheists can usually, they always make their attack with some made up theory that they just imagined in their own brain, and Dr. Kent Hovind can present the facts. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome. And so we really appreciate Dr. Hovind coming on the show tonight and talking with us, and I really appreciate you, Matt, taking time out of your schedule to come over here. And I also wanted to quickly just thank all of our Patreon supporters. I just wanted to give list off four new Patreon supporters that have joined us this month. I want to thank Psalms 139:22, Diego Orzoco just raised his pledge by $4. I appreciate that, Diego. Romans Road App, thank you so much. You're a big supporter. I appreciate that, Romans Road App. And if you guys haven't checked out that app, you can download that app, Romans Road app. on your phones. And Matthew, thank you, Matthew, for supporting us on Framing the World. If you want to support us on Framing the World, make sure you do that. And also, if you haven't yet seen Matt's film, Science Falsely So-Called, I really hope you guys check it out. It is an awesome film. I really appreciate Matt making this film. Yeah, there's the back there. And we have Matt, of course, Pastor Anderson. Who are these people, Matt?
On the upper left is Pastor Levesque. And then we've got Kent Hovind on the bottom left, Garrett Weiss in the bottom middle, and then Pastor Gopal on the bottom right. And he actually passed away last year, so we miss him. But yeah, that's the cast. Some of the cast. We had a lot more people on it.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to his new film. There they are right there, Dr. Kent Hovind. It's awesome. And did God create the world, or did the world create itself? I really hope you check this out. You can watch it free on YouTube, or you can support us at Framing the World by getting the DVD. The Way of the Truth Ministries, and Matt, you produced this film. Did you edit this film as well?
I edited the entire thing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, editing's fun, huh?
Yeah.
Are you getting used to it yet?
Sort of.
You hate it yet?
Has its ups and downs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I it's a love-hate relationship for me. I love editing, but I hate it at the same time. But no, I really love it more than I hate it. It's so time-consuming. People don't understand, like, you have a film and, you know, you see the edit and you're like, oh, that's, you know, seems so easy. But they don't realize that it was like four different versions of that edit before that. And you have to rework it a million times. And yeah, well.
Right on, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you did it. But any final thoughts, Matt, before we go?
Not too much other than just, you know, to any Christians out there, I would just encourage you to support Paul, support the work that he's doing here, because the work that he's done on this channel is phenomenal. And, you know, he's reaching a lot of people with the gospel, with his films. And so I recommend you check out his films. Also, that Romans Road Bible app, I've downloaded it. I love that thing. And so I also recommend that. But in closing, to the atheist community, you know, I really hope that this is an eye-opening video to you. And I think one of the things that we're going to go ahead and do is those of you atheists who decide to respond to this show, I've already got a bunch of you that have, and we've got a bunch of responses that we can cue back. And so I think it would be a good back and forth, you know, and, you know, like I said, all that I present are papers, scientifically, you know, cited papers, and the facts and the truth. And so if you're going to argue against me or argue against Paul, like I said, all we're doing is demonstrating facts on this show. So it's all about scientific fact, not just theories. So
awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, guys. Make sure you share these videos and support Matt. He has a YouTube channel. Matt, can you plug your YouTube channel real quick so people know where to find more information on you?
Sure thing. Yeah, so if you just type in Matt Powell on YouTube, Matt Powell Official will pop right up. That's the name of the YouTube channel. And so, you know, just feel free to like and subscribe and make the world a better place.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Matt. And thank you guys for watching and supporting the show. It's awesome, all the support that's come in for the show. I'm constantly getting emails and just positive things about the show. So thank you guys so much. I hope you have a great night. God bless.